You have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband, Jesus says to the Samaritan woman at the well. Is the woman a prostitute or some kind of shady lady? That's usually what is assumed. But in yet another lost in translation moment, we've had a lot of those in the past few weeks, there is nothing, absolutely nothing in this story that says that. And in fact, knowledge of ancient Levirate marriage laws might help us see that. So let's wash this unnamed woman's reputation clean this morning. May she rest in peace. And let's drink of Jesus' teaching and gifts. And to that end, let's talk about water. In our reading from Exodus this morning, we just heard a moment ago, we have water flowing from stone in the desert. And then the word water appears 10 times in the gospel text that we just heard in John's gospel. 10 times. Now in chapter 1 of John's gospel account, we find John the Baptizer baptizing in the waters of the Jordan the first time that he encounters Jesus. Then in chapter 2 of John's gospel account, at the wedding in Cana, Jesus changes water into wine. Then in chapter 3 of John's gospel account, this was our text from last week, Jesus tells Nicodemus the Pharisee that he needs to be born from above. Born from above. So birth imagery naturally calls forth this imagery of the life-giving waters of the womb. That was chapter 3. Now we're in chapter 4. Just before this text, the disciples have been baptizing once again in the name of Jesus. And then we have this wonderful exchange between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at a well. Here we are in the middle of a drought in California. Here we are contemplating sort of that desert place of our Lenten journeys, and we're just deluged with water imagery. Water is life. Water is life in the deserts of Samaria and in the wilderness of Horeb and in farmlands and cities and suburbs in California and Middle America and, of course, throughout the world. Some of the money that we raise in this God's Global Barnyard project that we have this Lent season could go, if we wanted for it to go, to wells being built in places where people don't have access to clean and healthy water. So water is indeed life. Yet even though this Samaritan woman and her village have this venerable well from Jacob, their ancestor, that this well sustains them, and yet we could say all is not well. You've probably heard that the Jews and the Samaritans were sworn enemies. And this was from, 500-600 years before the time of Jesus. So what had happened is the Jews who had been carried off into captivity in Babylon, when they return to Jerusalem and the temple is in ruins, and they find that some of the Jews who had not been carried off, who had remained there on the land, had in those intervening generations intermarried with Gentiles, and in some cases were worshiping the Gentile gods as well as the God of Israel, which was this caused strife between them then for generations. So a Jew would never ask to drink from a cup that a Samaritan had touched, which of course Jesus does in our reading today. There also were religious rules that forbade men and women who were not related to speak to one another in public, which, of course, Jesus again does in our reading today. And this particular woman seems to be an outcast. She's a woman, she's a Samaritan, she's an outcast. Three strikes. Well, what made her an outcast? That she would come alone to the well in the heat of noon rather than coming to the well in the cool of the morning with the other women. Notice in this text that Jesus does not condemn her and that Jesus does not forgive her. There's nothing in the text that says Jesus condemns or forgive her, so perhaps there's nothing to forgive. Perhaps she's an outcast through no fault of her own, as so often is the case with outcasts. She may have been the victim of some loophole in the Levirate marriage laws, or maybe someone was misusing these laws in some ways. The Levirate marriage law said that the widow would then be married to her husband's brother, the deceased husband's brother. So, if this woman's five brother husbands had all died in succession, and now the sixth husband, for whatever reason, refused to marry her, she's without a legitimate husband, through no fault of her own, yet still an outcast. We have so many dividing lines: race, gender, class, religion, sexual orientation, age, nationality. What else separates us? Maybe insecurity or jealousy, greed, fear. We're forever separating ourselves, and then we forever compete. We compete for power or resources, even to the point of war. And a bit of water sprinkled on our heads in baptism frees us from this. How? How is Christ living water? What difference does that make for us in the world? Jesus as our teacher and example, one way that we know Jesus, Jesus as teacher and example breaks down every barrier that we human beings strive to erect. Jesus speaks to this woman. He speaks to this Samaritan. He speaks to her in public, as Jesus so often does in his ministry. He engages with women like Mary Magdalene, who also, by the way, is not a prostitute. Mary and Martha of Bethany, who probably were wealthy women and particular friends of Jesus. The woman bleeding 12 years, another outcast through no fault of her own. And so many others. Jesus, of course, heals lepers, those untouchables. He makes whole unscrupulous tax collectors and, yes, prostitutes. Jesus as teacher and example, breaking down barriers. Well, then there's Jesus as prophet and change agent. As prophet and change agent, Jesus tears down the walls of divisive religion. Because that was another thing that separated the Jews and the Samaritans. They had these rules about where was the proper place to pray, on what mountain or in what way. And Jesus tells the Samaritan woman that the time has come. He says the time is now for God's people to worship God, not by these rules or on that mountain or in this church, but just worship God for who God is. Simply worship God for who God is. Jesus frees us to live out of love for one another, not out of some human-devised religious rules. This is the same idea that Dietrich Bonhoeffer in the 20th century called religionless church. And Jesus speaks it back 2,000 years ago. Jesus as prophet and change agent, breaking down barriers. But finally, and most importantly, we have Jesus as Redeemer and Christ. Jesus as Redeemer and Christ, as God with us, sustaining us and all people through that power of self-giving love. That amazing, undying, unending power of self-giving love. Those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The Israelites in the desert asked, "Is the Lord with us or not?" And water flowed from a rock. We ask, "Is God with us or not?" And God is revealed in a manger, on a cross, standing outside an empty tomb. We ask, is God with us or not? And we taste and see that God is good in bread and wine shared. Is God with us or not? We experience God's works of justice flowing through love incarnate, flowing in and through us and out into the world. The love of God in Christ breaks down all the barriers between God and people, between even death and life, between you and me and all the people who we would call enemy. We're washed in that love in our baptisms. Jesus says, the water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. A spring of water gushing up to eternal life, which also means a life that's worth living now. Baptized into Christ's life and death and resurrection, we're deluged with that gift of life. And so then we flood that gift of grace that we ourselves have received out into the world. Not as a work, not as some achievement on our part, but as our thanks for what God has done for us. We become living water for a world that is thirsty for healing and wholeness and mercy. We become rivers of justice that wash away all that separate us, and rivers that water the good soil of compassion and love in one another. Water is life. Living water is the living Christ, the one who is alive in us, poured out for the sake of this world God loves. The living Christ is alive in us, poured out for the sake of the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.